I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to the new series of Grazia Life Advice. I'm Rhiannon Evans. I'm back from maternity leave and ready to bring you some incredible guests full of great advice. But before we carry on, I have to say a huge thank you to Lottie, who held the mic presenting the show while I was away. I absolutely loved listening to her episodes, and I'm sure you did too. This time, we're with a British comedian who invites us along to her dates on YouTube.
Hello, I'm Amelia de Moldenberg, and I'm the creator of the YouTube series Chicken Shop Date, amongst other things, and I'm this week's guest on Grazia's Life Advice.
Amelia tells us about starting Chicken Shop Date in a youth club and how it became hugely successful.
When people say this, like, I feel like you're meant to say, no, oh my gosh, this really took me by surprise, but I actually always high hopes for it. Yeah. I just always believed in the format.
We chat about her interview with Louis Theroux, and if you've not seen the remix of his rap online yet, I really recommend you look it up as soon as you've listened to this podcast.
I had been trying to get him on the show for years, and then what happened subsequently with the jiggle jiggle and just me, you know, reinventing Louis Theroux's career single-handedly.
And finally, how Amelia's unimpressed face, which is now a big part of her career, hasn't always worked to her benefit.
And then I actually did end up getting fired from that job. Basically, I was secret shopped and I got the worst secret shopper rating that they've ever had.
All of that plus locking down a date with Andrew Garfield, dealing with criticism and fainting surrounded by disco pants. I hope you enjoy our chat. Hi, Amelia. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Super excited to speak to you in the office. There was a lot of excitement when I said it was you who's going to be on the podcast this week.
Really?
Do you get that all the time? Yeah, do you get all the time people like chasing you, excited to see you?
Yeah, you know what? I have done recently and it still does like not shock me, but I'm always pleasantly surprised really to know that that people are excited to see me. So that's great. I'm pleased.
Well, we're really excited to have you here today. I, however, am a little bit nervous because when you interviewed Louis Theroux, he said to you, good question, at least twice. And so, like, you're a top drawer interviewer, so it's always scary interviewing someone who's at that level.
Oh, wow. I mean, that is true. He did say that's what you want from when you're doing an interview, is for someone to say, great question, wow. So yeah, I'll definitely be saying that to you today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I wasn't. That sounds like I was fishing for compliments now. This has gone terribly already. Sorry.
No, I love it. Fish away.
Okay, great. Perfect. So we're recording this at the end of 2022. I think we're going to be coming out in 2023. What are your hopes for 2023? Is it just all Andrew Garfield based? Or
wow.
Are there other ambitions?
I need to secure the Andrew Garfield date. Like, it's definitely going to happen because he said it was going to happen. He said whenever, really, didn't he?
We all saw.
He said whenever. So I'm going to lock that one down, secure the date, 2023, for sure. He said when he's next promoting a film. So I just need to figure out, someone needs to just cast him in a film, which I'm sure is just happening every second. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing in 2023. And I want to be spending more time in America. I just love it over there. Just get me to Hollywood. Andrew's there as well. We can just be hanging out.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I think what we have to do, we have to manifest it, don't we? You've said it now. You've put it out there.
Yeah, manifesting it. See, the thing with manifesting is I'm still getting to terms of manifesting because I don't know how much I believe. I believe in manifesting. I do believe in manifesting, but for me, the definition of manifesting is like being determined, really believing in yourself and being determined with a plan or a vision, but then actually you are the person that make it happen along with other people rather than it just magically happening because you said it to yourself before you went to sleep. That's my version of manifesting. So I'm going to make sure the Andrew Garfield date happens by sheer force of me. being incredibly persistent and annoying.
Yeah, well, you're almost there. I can't wait till that happens. Let's move swiftly on to your pieces of advice. We've got 6 pieces of good advice and 1 piece of worst advice. So can you please tell me what your first piece of good advice is?
Okay, so I just like to preface this by saying that I actually don't think I should be giving life advice. I just feel like life advice should come maybe from people that are like much older and have lived more life than me.
I mean, can I reassure you, one of Anne-Marie's pieces of advice was don't open bottles of Blue Wicked with your teeth.
So, I've just gone this down this sincere route, and I should have just done like random stuff like don't think you can eat 40 chicken nuggets in one sitting because you can only do 4 because I've got such a small stomach. Okay, so yeah, that's what I would just like to say. My first piece of life advice is to have creative control as much as you can in what you're doing, because that has really served me very well. And I think it's the only reason why I've got to where I am is because I've been very adamant or strict in not compromising my integrity. And I mean that in like however small that might be to begin with, like having something that's yours that you own, whether that's just, you know, your own set of interests outside your job, or an Instagram page that you have that you just share pictures of nice meals you've had. I don't know, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be, oh, start your own brand, but just something that you feel like is yours. I think that's so powerful and can grow into something that maybe then makes you money or just makes you feel happier.
Yeah. So you started Chicken Shop Day as a written feature,
yes,
right?
It was. So I started Chicken Shop Day when I was around 17. I went to a youth club in Northwest London, the Stowe Centre, and we made a magazine, and it was called The Cut, and it was a youth-run publication. So you just had to be under 21, and you could write about whatever you wanted, and it was just the most amazing place ever, and I owe everything to that magazine. And Nina and Endy, who started it, and the friends I made from it. But yeah, that's how I started Chicken Shop Day, was writing in that magazine. It was a column.
Yeah, and so could you ever have predicted where it would go?
When people say this, like, I feel like you're meant to say, no, oh my gosh, it really took me by surprise. But I actually always had high hopes for it. I just always believed in the format. And I always thought that it was a brilliant idea and that it was needed, and it was like an interesting take on music journalism and really a fun way to do an interview and to get to know more about your favourite artists. But I didn't predict, obviously, the journey and the way it's happened and the amount of time it's taken. You know, I started Chicken Shop Date nearly 10 years ago. For it to be popular. So that I would have predicted of how it came to be. But I always thought that people would like it. And I've just been spending these years trying to get people to see what I see in it.
Yeah, I mean, I asked the question because I wanted a genuine answer. And I think sometimes you do. Sometimes you sit and you're like, wait a second, this is a good idea. But I think it's that stage of actually you went and did it. Lots of people sit there having good ideas, don't they? And you've obviously worked at it too.
I know. I think, you know, if I'd have had that idea now, would I have been as confident to just go and do it? I think there was just something about the environment of The Cut magazine and just feeling like you don't have anything to lose. And so you might as well do it, and being supported and feeling like, yeah, just try it. Just be creative and just do whatever just pops into your head. And I think that I'm so grateful for that environment that I was allowed to just be express my self and date
and have lots of nice dates. Yeah, absolutely. You probably get asked all the time, do you have a favorite? Was there a best date?
I actually don't kind of rank my exes. They're all equal in my eyes. I don't have a favorite, but I mean, the Louis Theroux episode this year was just incredible because of everything that happened. Even just the fact that I got to interview Louis Theroux, who's one of my heroes, grew up watching all of his documentaries, studied his style and tone, and I model of my own style off him. And to interview him and for him to agree to do it, and the first time I met him to be on my own show, was just incredible. And I've been trying to get him on the show for years. And then what happened subsequently with the Jiggle Jiggle and just me, you know, reinventing Louis Theroux's career single-handedly, it's just it's just been amazing. And now I get to see him quite a bit through that, and it's just, I don't know, it's just really, that's something I never would have expected.
Your second piece of advice is to practice self-care, which for you is about your skincare routine.
Exactly. So I think skincare is just such a brilliant way to practice self-care, because it's kind of one of those only moments where you're not looking at a screen, you're not talking to anyone, you're not on your phone, you're just in your bathroom or in your room or wherever you do your skincare, and you're washing your face, you're getting ready for the day, or you're getting ready for bed. And it's just a moment that you have with yourself where you're looking after yourself and you're just making yourself feel good and refreshed. Good skin makes you feel so good. And I know that in those moments where you feel like your skin isn't at its best or your skin is drier than usual, it can really affect your mood and how you feel about yourself, because that's how you're presenting to everyone, you know, through your skin. And so taking care of it and, you know, figuring out what products work for you. I use Olay, and they've got such a great range of different products for all different kinds of skin. And the vitamin C is probably my favorite, just because I love the smell of it. And the new hyaluronic is so good because it's like a gel, and the feel of it across your skin is great. And it just makes you feel like you're ready to put on whatever makeup you want, or just go out without anything, because it brightens your skin too. So yeah, skincare is really important for me.
Yeah. And you work with Olay now. I mean, did you think that would be something coming your way, that you would be kind of, you know, on the front of adverts talking about skincare?
No, actually, I never really, that's the one thing I didn't think about. And I'm someone that's very like, I've always been like meticulously thinking about what I'm doing at all times, and like forward planning and whatever. But yeah, I think that to have my own advert in the sense of like, I'm the only person in it and it's all of these people have turned up for me, and I'm just there in this incredible like studio with the most amazing set and these giant pots of Olay, and I'm talking about how much I love the brand. And yeah, I never really thought that would happen, but I'm so happy that it has, because I love the adverts so much and I really believe in the product. So I never do anything unless I'm a fan of the product, because people can really see when you're like not actually a fan of something. So yeah, I never thought it would happen, but I'm happy it has.
Yeah. Now, you did say you've been working on Chicken Shop Date for 10 years, and your third piece of advice is to take your time finding the one. So, you know, you have taken that.
Yeah,
to
thanks
heart.
For reminding me.
But do take your time. Take me through the piece of advice and what that means to you.
My dating life is essentially Chicken Shop Date as well. Like, I literally, the only dates I go on are on Chicken Shop Date ones. But I think that I've always been a big believer in never settling. And it's just not within my nature to do anything for the sake of it. Or if it doesn't feel right, you know, just to go along with something. I have to be really fully on board. It has to really resonate. I have to connect with someone, and I actually find it, I connect with people all the time, like in interviews, and I have so many friends and everything. But I think to really fall in love with somebody, I don't fall in love very easily. So for me, it's all about taking time, and just that also means that being single is okay, you know, like it's okay to be single. I'm single for like 90% of my life. So I think if you're somebody that hasn't met that person yet, or if you're still searching, then my advice would be that that's okay, because there's so many other things you can fill your life with, so much more love than romantic love that exists in your life. Bell Hooks, I don't know if you've ever read All About Love by Bell Hooks. It's one of my favorite books, and Bell Hooks is just the most incredible writer, revolutionary thinker, and the fact that she chose to write a book on love because of how important she felt love was and how it's rarely taken seriously as like an academic subject. And she says, you know, in the book, romantic love, I'm paraphrasing, a romantic love isn't more important than any other types of love that you have in your life. So whether that's love with your friends, love with your family, love for your community, all these kinds of love are all valid and they're all should be seen as equal. So I always think that when I'm feeling hard on myself for being like, oh my God, I don't have any romance in my life, or I'm not in love with a boy, I'm missing out. And actually, I've got so much love around me in so many other ways. And that's great. So yeah. Focus on that. I'm very lucky that my career is going really well and I've got amazing friends, and that's all good. So you can't have it all.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the show is huge now, and it is, you know, the idea is based around the chicken shop date. But were you prepared for, now that you're the celebrity, that people were going to be interested in your, you know, real life love life? Has that been a strange shift?
Well, I think because I have a dating show, I think that the lines are so blurred. So actually what people are interested in is the show specifically, rather than my actual dating life. And, you know, I think that that's what I sort of talk about and focus on the most is what's happening in the show. And it's real to me.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with more from Amelia after this.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
We're still here with Amelia, and we've got half of our good advice still to go. So let's crack on. What's your fourth piece of good advice?
So my fourth piece of good advice, I hope, is to lean on your friends and collaborate as much as possible. Use your network in a sense, because that's sort of, again, what I've done and what I continue to do is to collaborate with my friends. And I mean, my first collaboration was, again, from all the people that I met at the Cut magazine, all the other young people who were there, and meeting them and working together with them, whether that was getting someone who was there to take the photos of when I would go on the chicken shop dates originally and write them up. Or then I met a really close collaborator of mine, Marvin, who was at the magazine, but he, as his day job, was a video editor. Like, his first job was a video editor. So when we decided to turn chicken shop dates from a written column into a YouTube series, he just said, oh, well, I can edit them for you. And then he was working at an agency at the time, and his friend Bruno was like, well, I can film them. And then it just sort of happened, like, naturally through meeting people. And so I always say to people who have an idea and they're feeling, oh, I have no idea how to, you know, how to get this off the ground. And I always say, well, look around you and your friends. Like, your friends are always willing to help you, good friends anyway. And they may have, you know, equipment, interests, or skills that you never knew they had or wanted to learn. And so, yeah, I think when you're starting out, looking around and seeing what your friends can do to help you is a great way to start something. And then, yeah, collaboration is key. Like, no one does anything on their own, and I certainly don't. And so, yeah, leaning on other people when you're feeling like you need help is the best piece of advice, because you can't be an expert at everything. And I always say that to myself, like, I'm always wanting to work with people that know more than me. And there's that thing that, you know, you should never be the smartest person in the room. And I'm always trying not to be. It's really hard though when you're so smart. But yeah, I think I'm not an expert at everything, and I love meeting people that know more about me in certain areas and working with them and like making something the best it can be and hearing other opinions. Collaboration is key, and you can collaborate in all aspects of life, not just work.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of links to your fifth piece of advice, which is to stay passionate. So Why do you think that's important and how have you harnessed that?
Yeah, staying passionate is just one of my like things I always try and do, because I hope that in my work and in my life, it shows that I've got so many interests and I'm passionate about life and all the and music and all of the people that I'm meeting. And I'm just such a I'm a fangirl, like through and through. That's essentially what is at the core of all my work, is just being a fan of all these different people. And I think being passionate about what you do is the only way that you can carry on and, you know, get up in during the day. And if you're not passionate about your day job, which I know so many people are not that passionate, that's kind of goes back to my first piece of advice, which is, okay, if your job isn't the thing that's fulfilling you, and you know, you just need it to make money to live your life, fair, completely fair enough, is there something else that outside that you could do, whether that's your relationships, your family, your, I don't know, do you like gardening, just something that makes you feel like happy, because I think everyone deserves to be happy. So yeah, I think passion for me is something that really keeps me going. And to find passion, I think, is sometimes challenging when you're working so much. But again, because I'm always meeting new people and pitching new ideas, I find that is a great way to stay passionate, is just by constantly thinking of new ideas and pushing things forward. And like, I've got an idea, let's figure out a way to make it happen. Like, I'm passionate about this, let's do it and persevere and carry on until someone says yes.
Yeah, and as you say, your career is expanding outside of Chicken Shop, definitely, isn't it? You've done documentaries, you recently did the red carpeting, the Andrew Garfield incident we were just talking about. Shouldn't call it an incident, sorry, a great meet cute. You know, what else are you hoping to do? Like, where do you see things going for you?
I just want to continue to making people laugh and entertaining people, and continue to like be a voice within pop culture and create exciting moments with your favourite artists, your favourite actors. That's what I love doing. And then aside from that, I'm writing a script at the moment. I'd love to, that's what I really want to do, like in the future, is write and direct TV or films. I did a short film a few years ago, just before the pandemic, and I loved it. And I wasn't in it at all. I just just directed it and wrote it. And I loved like the thing just like not being about me. I think that everything I do is just, I'm at the center of, and I think as I grow and what I want to do in the future is just for things not to be centered around me. And so that's me directing or writing something, or also growing my production company DimZinc to be creating content for other people. That's definitely where what I see the future being, is not about me.
Not a lot of people have that ambition. So I think that's great. Your final piece of good advice, I mean, it's one that always, always is important, is to listen. How have you found that important?
It's vital and essential to be listening to other people and other people's opinions and other people's perspectives that aren't your own, because how can you exist in a world with so many other people who think different way, in a different way, who have different life experience? And if you want to be somebody that's, you know, speaking to a large audience, I think you have to take other people's opinions on board, and especially like other people's perspectives. And so that's kind of what I always try and do. And I do that through people I meet, putting myself in different situations, reading, listening to different perspectives, different communities, like all different like things. And I love it. It just makes me feel like a human. It makes me feel like I can, you know, experience the world in the best way that I can.
You have faced some kind of controversies and backlashes across your career. Is it important then to listen to criticism as well and see where that's coming from? I know you have spoken previously about that, and you've always kind of tackled criticisms and spoken about them.
Yeah, I think that like whatever like criticism is leveled against you, you should, you know, take it on board, listen to what people have to say, even if you don't agree with it. Like, it's important to kind of get to the nub of what people are trying to say, and just use that to better yourself, to have a greater understanding of something, and to be moving forward. Like, the worst thing you can do is just ignore things, but then it gets to a point where you're like, okay, you need to take it trolling or like negative criticism, like I don't really think you should lean into that too much, or like read like horrible comments about yourself, like I don't think you should do that, but like balanced criticism, like definitely, or like different perspectives, 100% you should. And I always do that. I'm always trying to, you know, do the best that I can and learn and improve. Always.
Yeah. Some of the ways that we can improve is to look back at where we maybe shouldn't have taken advice or things have gone wrong for us. So we always ask people to pass on the worst advice they've been given. So talk about yours.
Okay. So the worst advice, and this is kind of specifically for me, specifically, is to never work on a hangover and with no sleep, or like actually do anything. Like, don't actually do anything with a hangover, because I just cannot, I can't do it. Like, I'm not built for it. And I wish I was. And I'm actually so envious of people that can get up and go when they're hungover, because I am like vomiting like the whole day. And it's tragic, really. So
right,
that's my worst advice, is you could do it, don't worry. Like, you can stay out and you can be out until 6 a.m. and then like do something the next day. Like, no, you can't.
Mm-mm. Have you ever had that, like, there must be an incident you're thinking about, did you ever try and do it and it just didn't work out?
Oh my god, there's so many instances. I used to work at American Apparel, like that was my first job. I was like a on the shop floor, and I would be hungover every single time I was working. And I remember collapsing in the back room, like with loads of disco pants. Like, do you remember disco pants? Like falling on top of me because I was like so faint and hungover. And then I actually did end up getting fired from that job because basically I was secret shopped, you know, like with a secret shopper.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the worst secret shopper rating that they've ever had. I worked in retail for so long, but yeah, that was the end of it. The straw that broke the camel's back was the secret shopper.
I need a bit more information. Do you remember the shopper in particular? Or were you like, oh, I don't know which one I was rude to today, actually?
Well, because they're secret, I actually don't know who it was. But but the feedback was that I looked generally unimpressed the entire time. And like that my facial expressions were not pleasant, and that I seemed uninterested, which I actually think I've really brought forward in my what I do currently with my show. So it's good to know that I've stayed true to who I am, and that now that my unimpressed face is actually working for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a great way to end things. Unimpressed face working for you. You can make anything work for you, even the worst secret shopper rating.
Exactly.
Ever.
There we go.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Amelia. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Grazia Life Advice. Thank you so much for being with us. If you know someone who's worked hungover in retail, they probably need Amelia's words of wisdom in their lives. So please share this episode with them. Word of mouth really, really helps us reach new listeners. Take care. Bye for now.